From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Today, I am announcing the suspension of my campaign.
That was Senator Bernie Sanders from Vermont, candidate for the Democratic nomination for president, announcing on Wednesday that he was suspending his campaign. We bring you his full announcement in its entirety.
Good morning, and thank you very much for joining me. I want to express to each of you my deep gratitude for helping to create an unprecedented grassroots political campaign that has had a profound impact in changing our nation. I want to thank the hundreds of thousands of volunteers who knocked on doors, millions of them, in the freezing winters of Iowa and New Hampshire, and in the heat of Nevada and in South Carolina, and in states throughout the country. I want to thank the 2 million Americans who have contributed financially to our campaign and showed the world that we can take on a corrupt campaign finance system and run a major presidential campaign without being dependent upon the wealthy and the powerful. Thank you for your 10 million contributions, averaging $18.50 a donation. I want to thank those who phone banked for our campaign and those of you who sent out millions of texts. And I want to thank the many hundreds of thousands of Americans who attended our rallies, town meetings, and house parties from New York to California. Some of these events had over 25,000 people, some had a few hundred, and some had a dozen, but all were important. And let me thank those who made these many events possible. I also want to thank our surrogates, too many to name. I can't imagine that any candidate has ever been blessed with a stronger and more dedicated group of people who have taken our message to every part of this country. And I want to thank all of those who made the music and the art an integral part of our campaign. I want to thank all of you who spoke to your friends and neighbors, posted on social media, and worked as hard as you could to make this a better country. Together, we have transformed American consciousness as to what kind of nation we can become, and have taken this country a major step forward in the never-ending struggle for economic justice, social justice, racial justice, and environmental justice. I also want to thank the many hundreds of people on our campaign staff. You were willing to move from one state to another and do all the work that had to be done. No job was too big or too small for you. You rolled up your sleeves and you did it. You embodied the words that are at the core of our movement, not me, but us. And I thank each and every one of you for what you've done. As many of you will recall, Nelson Mandela, one of the great freedom fighters in modern world history, famously said, and I quote, "It always seems impossible until it is done," end quote. And what he meant by that is that the greatest obstacle to real social change has everything to do with the power of the corporate and political establishment to limit our vision as to what is possible and what we are entitled to as human beings. If we don't believe that we are entitled to health care as a human right, we will never achieve universal health care. If we don't believe that we are entitled to decent wages and working conditions, millions of us will continue to live in poverty. If we don't believe that we are entitled to all of the education we require to fulfill our dreams, many of us will leave school saddled with huge debt or never get the education we need. If we don't believe that we are entitled to live in a world that has a clean environment and is not ravaged by climate change, we will continue to see more drought, floods, rising sea levels, and increasingly uninhabitable planet. If we don't believe that we are entitled to live in a world of justice, democracy, and fairness without racism, sexism, homophobia, xenophobia, or religious bigotry, we will continue to have massive income and wealth inequality, prejudice and hatred, mass incarceration, terrified immigrants, and hundreds of thousands of Americans sleeping out on the streets in the richest country on earth. And focusing on that new vision for America is what our campaign has been about and what, in fact, we have accomplished. Few would deny that over the course of the past 5 years, our movement has won the ideological struggle. In so-called red states and blue states and purple states, a majority of the American people now understand that we must raise the minimum wage to at least $15 an hour, that we must guarantee health care as a right to all of our people, that we must transform our energy system away from fossil fuel, and that higher education must be available to all, regardless of income. It was not long ago that people considered these ideas radical and fringe. Today, they are mainstream ideas, and many of them are already being implemented in cities and states across the country. That is what we have accomplished together. In terms of healthcare, even before this horrific pandemic we are now experiencing, more and more Americans understood that we must move to a Medicare for All single-payer program. During the primary elections, exit polls showed in state after state, a strong majority of Democratic primary voters supported a single government health insurance program to replace private insurance. That was true even in states where our campaign did not prevail. And let me just say this. In terms of healthcare, this current horrific crisis that we are now in has exposed for all to see how absurd our current employer-based health insurance system is. The current economic downturn we are experiencing has not only led to a massive loss of jobs, but has also resulted in millions of Americans losing their health insurance. While Americans have been told over and over again how wonderful our employer-based private insurance system is, those claims sound very hollow today as a growing number of unemployed workers struggle with how they can afford to go to the doctor or not go bankrupt with a huge hospital bill. We have always believed that healthcare must be considered as a human right, not an employee benefit, and we are right. Please also appreciate that not only are we winning the struggle ideologically, we are also winning it generationally. The future of our country rests with young people. And in state after state, whether we won or whether we lost the Democratic primaries or caucuses, we received a significant majority of the votes, sometimes an overwhelming majority, from people not only 30 years of age or under, but 50 years of age or younger. In other words, the future of this country is with our ideas. As we are all painfully aware, we now face an unprecedented crisis. Not only are we dealing with a coronavirus pandemic, which is taking the lives of many thousands of our people, we are also dealing with an economic meltdown that has resulted in the loss of millions of jobs. Today, families all across our country face financial hardship unimaginable only a few months ago. And because of the unacceptable levels of income and wealth inequality in our economy, many of our friends and neighbors have little or no savings and are desperately trying to pay their rent or their mortgage or even put food on the table. This reality makes it clear to me that Congress must address this unprecedented crisis in an unprecedented way that protects the health and economic well-being of the working families of our country, not just powerful special interests. As a member of the Democratic leadership in the United States Senate, and as a senator from the state of Vermont, this is something that I intend to intensely be involved in over the next number of months, and that will require an enormous amount of work. Which takes me to the state of our presidential campaign. I wish I could give you better news, but I think you know the truth. And that is that we are now some 300 delegates behind Vice President Biden, and the path toward victory is virtually impossible. So while we are winning the ideological battle, and while we are winning the support of so many young people and working people throughout the country, I have concluded that this battle for the Democratic nomination will not be successful. And so today, I am announcing the suspension of my campaign. Please know that I do not make this decision lightly. In fact, it has been a very difficult and painful decision. Over the past few weeks, Jane and I, in consultation with top staff and many of our prominent supporters, have made an honest assessment of the prospects for victory. If I believed we had a feasible path to the nomination, I would certainly continue the campaign. But it's just not there. I know that there may be some in our movement who disagree with this decision, who would like us to fight on to the last ballot cast at the Democratic Convention. I understand that position. But as I see the crisis gripping the nation, exacerbated by a president unwilling or unable to provide any kind of credible leadership, and the work that needs to be done to protect people in this most desperate hour, I cannot in good conscience continue to mount a campaign that cannot win and which would interfere with the important work required of all of us in this difficult hour. But let me say this very emphatically. As you all know, we have never been just a campaign. We are a grassroots, multiracial, multi-generational movement which has always believed that real change never comes from the top on down, but always from the bottom on up. We have taken on Wall Street, the insurance companies, the drug companies, the fossil fuel industry, the military-industrial complex, the prison-industrial complex, and the greed of the entire corporate elite. That struggle continues. While this campaign is coming to an end, our movement is not. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. reminded us that, quote, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice, end quote. The fight for justice is what our campaign has been about. The fight for justice is what our movement remains about. Today, I congratulate Joe Biden, a very decent man, who I will work with to move our progressive ideas forward. On a practical note, let me also say this. I will stay on the ballot in all remaining states and continue to gather delegates. While Vice President Biden will be the nominee, we must continue working to assemble as many delegates as possible at the Democratic Convention, where we will be able to exert significant influence over the party platform and other functions. Then together, standing united, we will go forward to defeat Donald Trump, the most dangerous president in modern American history. And we will fight to elect strong progressives at every level of government, from Congress to the school board. As I hope all of you know, this race has never been about me. I ran for the presidency because I believe that as a president, I could accelerate and institutionalize the progressive changes that we are all building together. And if we keep organizing and fighting, I have no doubt but that that is exactly what will happen. While the path may be slower now, we will change this nation and, with like-minded friends around the globe, change the entire world. On a very personal note, speaking for Jane, myself, and our entire family, we will always carry in our hearts the memory of the extraordinary people we have met across this country. We often hear about the beauty of America, and this country is incredibly beautiful. But to me, the beauty I will remember most is in the faces of the people we have met from one corner of this nation to the other. The compassion, love, and decency I have seen in them makes me so hopeful for our future. It also makes me more determined than ever to work to create a nation that reflects those values and lifts up all of our people. Please stay in this fight with me. Let us go forward together. The struggle continues. Thank you all very much.
Gloria LaRiva is the candidate of the Party for Socialism and Liberation, an actual socialist party in the United States. She issued the following statement upon hearing of Sanders' withdrawal from the race.
Hello, sisters and brothers. My name is Gloria LaRiva. I'm a member of the Party for Socialism and Liberation, and I'm running for President of the United States in 2020. The Party for Socialism and Liberation is going to be on the ballot in several states, and I'm vying for the nomination of Peace and Freedom Party in California, where I won the primary on March 3rd, and I've been nominated by the Liberty Union Party in Vermont. The PSL and the socialist movement is fighting for the rights of working class people everywhere. My running mate is Leonard Peltier, who is serving 44 years still as a political prisoner. He is falsely imprisoned for advocating for the rights of Native and all oppressed and exploited people. I want to speak about Bernie Sanders' decision today to end his campaign for the nomination of the Democratic Party for President of the United States in 2020. The Democratic Party establishment and the corporate-owned media worked together for months in an all-out effort and intensified it in an effort to crush Bernie Sanders before Super Tuesday, when he was still the likely victor. Even though we in the Party for Socialism and Liberation are running our own campaign, and although we are opponents of the Democratic Party establishment, which is 100% pro-capitalist and pro-imperialist, we took the position of critical support for Bernie Sanders because we are in solidarity with the millions of people who were building a movement who supported his campaign in demanding far-reaching social change. We didn't see eye to eye with Bernie on some important issues, especially international, but his far-reaching domestic program is desperately needed. Bernie's campaign made huge strides in raising consciousness in 2016 and 2020, especially on the issue of socialism. Today, the people of the United States are demanding that healthcare, housing, and education should be human rights and not a commodity of the source of super profits for the capitalists. He raised the imperative need for a political revolution. Yes, we need a political and a social revolution. We need a system that puts people before profits. In short, we need socialism, and that's why I'm running for President of the United States in 2020. The Democratic Party will not be the vehicle for that revolution. To be clear, we absolutely oppose the racist, anti-worker, anti-poor, right-wing program of Donald Trump. But let's be real. Joe Biden and a Biden White House would be the opposite of a political revolution. If Bernie Sanders supports Biden, his supporters should not go along with that. This is exactly how the country got someone like Trump in the first place. And look what Biden is saying. The other day, he's insisting that the country does not need a national health care program in the midst of this virus. Biden and the Democratic Party elites supported the war in Iraq. In 2019, Biden boasted that he was responsible for many of the crime laws that led to mass incarceration. Biden and the Democrats were responsible for the dismantling of public services that affects poor and working people. Biden, like the Clintons before him, is a servant of Wall Street and the military-industrial complex. And Biden is supporting the regime change efforts of the Trump administration against the democratically elected presidency of Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela. The vicious attack against the Sanders campaign shows that they prefer Donald Trump in the White House for four more years rather than nominate the one person who is best situated to defeat Trump. The Bernie Sanders campaign was a victim of a united assault, even in the face of extreme crises of global pandemic, economic depression, and the climate catastrophe. The establishment of the capitalists, both parties, are not willing to accept or tolerate any demand for permanent guarantees to housing, health care, a decent job, cultural rights, and equality for all people right now. Critical protective gear and the medical goods that are needed to save lives are being held up because the so-called political leadership of this country lack the will to fight and take command of the productive forces that could create everything that's needed to defeat the coronavirus. Biden, Pelosi, Schumer, and the Democratic Party ruling class establishment, like the Republicans, are the problem. They can't be the solution. Think about their response to the coronavirus pandemic and the shutdown of vast parts of the economy. We are headed into what could very well be a depression that surpasses the 1930s. But the latest bailout is like the bailout of 2008, in which millions of homes were foreclosed and people came out poorer than ever. Literally trillions of dollars have been given to the banks and the capitalist corporations, and only crumbs for working class people. Undocumented workers are left completely out of the program, and it doesn't have to be this way. When in the face of mass death, destruction of the planet, and economic catastrophe, that even relatively basic but very broadly popular programs are demonized, marginalized, and ejected from the political arena, it shows that the system is completely bankrupt. The electoral system of the United States is rigged for the rich. The only political rights that U.S. workers have is the right to vote every 2 or 4 years for one or the other of the capitalist parties. The homeless, the jobless, the impoverished, the disabled have a right to vote, but they don't have the right to live free from poverty, to live free from the endless and multiple oppressions that come from poverty, including suffering from the largest prison population in the world. In 2020, our message is vote socialist. And even more importantly, we are working nonstop to build a truly massive, militant movement of the people. Now is not the time to give up on big ideas. It is as clear as day. We need big, bold changes in the way things are organized. We need to put people before profits. Here are our basic demands of our 10-point program. 1. Make the essentials of life into constitutional rights, and we need a new constitution. 2. For the earth to live, capitalism must be replaced by a socialist, sustainable system. 3. End racism, police brutality, police killings, and mass incarceration. Pay reparations to the African American and Native communities. Full rights for the undocumented workers is our number 4 point. They are being left completely out of the picture, and it doesn't have to be this way. 5. Shut down all U.S. military bases, over 400 around the world. Bring all the troops home, the planes, the ships. Stop wars and occupations and sanctions. 6. Honor Native treaties and free Leonard Peltier. 7. Full equality for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer people. 7. Equality for women and safe, free, legal abortion on demand. Stop the war on women. 9. Defend and expand our unions. Give workers the real right to organize. 10. Take over all the stolen wealth by the giant banks and corporations, jail all the Wall Street criminals. So, sisters and brothers, learn more about our program, our socialist movement, and our campaign. Join us in organizing and building with us at LarivaPeltier2020.org. We need thousands of volunteers, sisters and brothers, around the country to grow this movement. Thinking about socialism is good. Talking about socialism is even better. But building a real socialist party is the best thing you can do of all. If you'd like to join the Party for Socialism and Liberation or learn more about us, go to www.liberationnews.org. For everyone out there sick of capitalist beliefs, don't despair. We need this new movement for social and political change, to fight for socialism so that humanity can survive. We're going to go all over this country campaigning and fighting to get on the ballot. We're already going to be on the ballot in 6 states, and we were petitioning in many others, but unfortunately, the virus became a pandemic, and we had to temporarily stop because of this. But our campaign continues in a fighting spirit that the people of this country need desperately. Thank you so much. And join us.
Howie Hawkins is a Green Party candidate for president as well as the Socialist Party candidate for president. He's a lifelong socialist, and he issued the following statement upon hearing of Sanders' suspension of his campaign.
Good evening. I'm Howie Hawkins. I'm the Socialist Party nominee for president and leading in the Green Party primaries for the Green Party nomination for president. And I want to talk tonight briefly about our next steps now that Bernie Sanders has suspended his campaign. Bernie's going to remain on the ballot to gather delegates, for the platform fight at the Democratic Convention. But let's be realistic. Joe Biden opposes the progressive reforms that Bernie Sanders advocated. He said he would veto Medicare for All. Biden's Green New Deal was an order of magnitude less in public spending than Bernie Sanders, or the one I'm advocating. And the economic human rights and Bernie's economic bill of rights are not anywhere on Biden's agenda. Biden earned millions of votes because he advocates these progressive reforms. He put democratic socialism back into the political debate. It used to be a conversation stopper, and now it's a conversation starter. So I'm inviting Bernie Sanders supporters to join our campaign tonight. We are going to keep fighting for these progressive reforms through the November election and beyond. The fight for a socialist transformation is more critical than ever now because we face this COVID-19 crisis, the climate crisis, the new nuclear arms race. I'm the only presidential candidate even talking about that life or death issue, and I have nuclear disarmament initiatives to address it. And we have the long-growing racial and economic inequality that has been raising working class mortality. These are life or death issues that require real solutions, socialist solutions. Bernie deserves praise for fighting for the 99%, but it was not on the agenda embraced by the leadership of the Democrats. They just are not going for that. Voters are left with a miserable choice between the major party candidates, Donald Trump, the racist incompetent, and Joe Biden, the neoliberal hawk. To settle for Biden as the lesser evil is to join the opposition of the corporate establishment to Medicare for All, a full-strength Green New Deal, and an economic bill of rights to end poverty and economic despair. We are running out of time on the pandemic, climate, nuclear arms, and deadly poverty and economic despair. Real solutions can't wait. So here's what I'm asking you to do tonight. Go to HowieHawkins.us, our campaign website. This is a bottom-up campaign. Don't wait for instructions from our campaign. Take your own initiatives. Promote the campaign on social media. Call your fellow activists and work your networks. And join with us to continue the fight for socialist solutions through the November election and beyond. Let's keep the revolution alive. Let's fight for our future. Thank you.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.